I literally was dying editing that. That was great.
I was very clinical about soaking. I really tried to make it as not offensive to Mormons as possible, but you know.
It's not a loophole.
Exposed.
It's just not a loophole.
The only loophole is the poop hole.
Not a loophole.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the new Bear Attack, where we always start with sexual stuff.
Oh, I bet you're the same guy who said putting it in the ear didn't count either. Did they have those jokes in Flagstaff?
What jokes?
I went to church with a girl in youth group. I'm going to start by saying...
He can't eat!
This didn't actually happen in my youth group, but we heard about it. And then, like, this girl waited a couple weeks, and she came in, and she is like, what? Man, I can just not hear out of this ear. Because there was a joke that all the good little Christian boys and girls thought that penetration in the ear didn't count.
I feel like...
Oh, no!
I feel like it does. Oh, God!
That is probably, like that's like soaking all over again.
The sound of it. Honestly. Like, does it have a sound? Can you hear? Is it sort of like... Like, is it like that? Or is it just like a suction sound?
Oh, my gosh. We cannot be starting a second episode off like this in a row.
That's the noise it makes.
Or does it sound more like "ow, stop"?
It makes the sound, but then it like it hits like your eardrum itself, so it's like a
oh god!
It's like maybe it's like somebody knocking at the door, so you're just like "hello,"
and then it's stop.
I also heard a story of a guy who was exposed when somebody walked through the door, and he had a Brita pitcher full of water with him, and so he held the Brita pitcher like it was going to hide him, but Brita pitchers are clear, so it just, you know, magnified his manhood. Heard that story today. Hilarious. If you guys aren't following Youth Pastor Ryan on some social media, you are missing out. He is not a youth pastor. He just has that look about him.
Oh, my gosh.
It's free publicity. I don't even know him. I'd like to, but I don't.
What is Pepper taking Panda away? Pepper, you can come be on the show, but we're going now.
Pepper, excuse me?
Is it even worth doing an intro? This is what it is. Guys, I think that we're talking about
the shit show.
I think that we're talking about Arizona myths today.
I think that was a great transition since the dog took my attention away. Hold on, let me feed her.
That's actually what we were talking about. Oh, you haven't even fed her yet? What a terrible dog, Dad.
He has like Bluetooth headphones, so he can still hear us.
What's the agency that has Sarah McLachlan with that sad, sad song?
Oh gosh, yeah, I don't know.
The ASPCA.
Yeah, I'm calling the NFPA on you.
That's not at all what he said.
The PTO is going to be at your front door in no time.
PTO?
You just wait till I call the NAACP on you, poor Pepper.
The UCLA does not mess around.
UCLA, oh my. Anyway, 12 minutes of clusterfuck nonsense. What the fuck are we doing today? God damn it.
Bitches.
We're talking about creatures that are irrelevant to the creatures we're supposed to be talking about. Hi, other creature. What?
If Pepper went in on the episode, just put her on your lap and let her breathe into the microphone or something.
She weighs like 35 pounds.
I put Jessie in my lap all the time. She weighs 60.
That's just barely qualifying as a dog.
I mean, Marshall qualifies, and he's only like 50-something.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is anything under 35 pounds is, or anything under 30 pounds is a cat, right?
Yeah, and cats are useless.
Definitely not a cat, this one. No, definitely not a cat.
That's not true. You know, a good barn cat is very useful.
That's true.
I love.
Says the guy who has a cat named Bandito, who's actually a female.
My?
Fun fact.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
So you gotta change it to Bandita. I got one more thing to say.
It's
Bandita.
It's Dito Burrito forever. Okay. So the cat eats in the bathroom, right? So I went in there to employ the use of the porcelain throne, and I'm sitting there, and the cat moseys in and jumps up on the counter and is eating her food, and then she wants off the counter, but instead of jumping down like she's perfectly capable of doing, she jumped on my leg. Oceans, it's not that bad. She jumped over on my leg, but didn't quite make it. Claws out. Grabbed the middle of my tattoo and just ripped all the way to the ground.
Oh, no.
It hurt so bad, and I have, like, scabs through my tangled tattoo.
Oh,
I'm pissed.
So now it's
cooler. That is so much worse than what I was thinking.
Yeah, I'll send, you know what, I'll send a picture to Nate. We can put this on the gram. Firstly, to prove to everybody I have a tattoo from the movie Tangled.
Based.
So anyways, you guys want to talk about some other critters that aren't my cat, aren't Ocean's dog?
Yeah, so you said something about cryptids and in our show prep. What is a cryptid?
Nate, don't act like we do show prep.
Well, okay. we prepare to do the show.
In the sparse conversations we have in our group chat that are on task.
You said, I think that's not too bad. I think you'll be fine. Maybe. I don't know.
Get that dog some headphones. She's in.
What's a cryptid? I thought those were like the aliens in Call of Duty Ghosts.
Are they? Are there aliens in Call of Duty?
Yeah, in Call of Duty Ghosts, they had a mode called Extinction, which was like Infinity Ward's version of zombies and was way better. And I think it was an awesome game overall. But I really liked the Extinction mode.
Oh, God. You've really sent... Oh, my God, dog. Your raptor claws are hurting me.
Talking raptor.
Ah! Sam, that is bad.
It is called... they are called cryptids in Call of Duty Extinction.
Interesting. Well, a cryptid is an animal such as Sasquatch or the Loch Ness Monster that has been claimed to exist, but hasn't been proven yet. Contrary to popular belief, cryptids don't have to be supernatural, mythical, or even all that strange. Though many popular creatures acquire these characteristics as their legends grow. Example, giant squids. They exist. We didn't know for a long time. They got proven real. Giant squids, no longer cryptids.
Nice. I'm a fan. I'm a fan of the cryptids.
Also Bigfoot, because Bigfoot's real.
Honestly,
I'm on the fence about Nessie.
I think people are way too dismissive out of hand of stuff like, and I think of the three of us, I'm probably like the least enthusiastic Bigfoot believer. I'm like that guy who's just recently come to Bigfoot, but isn't like part of the culture yet. I have a hard time going to Bigfoot church.
Bigfoot church.
Welcome, brother. Your brokenness is welcome here.
I was hurt by the Bigfoot community when I was young.
Shun the non-believers. Shun.
All right, so we're talking about cryptids, specifically of Arizona, because we them AZ boys.
Indeed.
We span a large part of the state.
State 48.
From Flagstaff to Buckeye, we roam these lands. Copper State.
That's right. I'm trying to think of other like Arizona things, and I'm gonna be honest, you guys, my sick brain is not doing me any favors tonight.
The state with the most venomous animals in the northern United States.
The state with the most venomous animals in the United States.
The second beigest state in the union.
Yes.
Nevada wins.
It's very dry here. But we do have plants. It has its own kind of rugged beauty.
Well, no, like, yes, we have
New Mexico
northern...
has aliens.
Oh, funny you should say that.
And Reaper drum pilots.
Hmm. There you go.
I don't know if they fly them out of... I don't know how much of this I'm allowed to say, actually.
Probably none of it.
I know nothing. So. I know nothing. 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 I've just
you cannot tell us when we're not on the podcast anymore, when the government's not listening.
I'm just realizing the guy who told us everything I know about like that is like, actually, I'm not sure how much of this I'm allowed to say. Just, you know, the Air Force.
Love it. All right. Well, so here we go. First off, did you guys know that there's like a nationally recognized group that keeps track of UFO sightings?
The government?
Well, it's not the government.
That sounds like a waste of resources.
But it's not the government, but it is a body of people that are keeping track of what I've always believed to be a very redneck hobby, UFO spotting. But then I saw this statistic and I'm like, eh, maybe not. So it's the National UFO Reporting Center, or NUFORC.
NUFORC.
NUFORC. NUFORC. They have documented around 90,000 UFO sightings, with almost 95% of these sightings supposedly being explained away as a military test, weather balloon, or other terrestrial activity. But through their 24/7 hotline, also imagine that they have 24/7 hotline, which means there is a person somewhere answering this phone all day and night. They have shifts.
I wonder if it's just
sign me up. It can't be any worse.
I wonder if it's just like a dude who like takes his work phone home.
It's just one guy with like a
he's just on call
on top, but a ponytail.
Yeah, you call it, rings his cell phone. It's like, Norfolk.
He answers it. Norfolk, you're on with Larry.
Or Norfolk.
I would answer it. I would answer it at like 4 o'clock in the morning, like, no fuck, what? Oh, sorry.
Oh, my God.
Well, I bet he goes to sleep like a regular person, and then he answers the phone when it wakes him up.
Well, it's a 24/7 hotline, so if you see an alien, first get it on video. Second, look up NUFORC, NUFORC. But they've been 24/7 since 1974.
Nice.
Who do they think they are? The suicide hotline?
I don't know. But this website I found, Stacker, which, did you know the suicide hotline has a hold?
Yes. Yeah, I think we've talked about it on
did
the show
Did we talk
before.
About that?
Yeah.
Oh, it got brought up again, and I still can't believe it.
Definitely. I tell you guys what, I've gone pretty dark sometimes in the past, and I have no idea what I would have done if I got put on hold on the suicide hotline. I think I would have said, fine, I'll just go ahead and kill myself.
I mean, okay. You don't have to tell me.
I should get my mom's opinion.
You don't have to tell me
that
on this podcast, but did they have hold music? Or was
it? Is it like The Cure?
Like, does anyone know? Has anyone heard?
Is it that?
Do they have hold music? You know, is it music? Like, is it elevator music, or do they actually pay for something that has lyrics?
It's that semi-sonic song, Closing Time, from the 90s.
I would say that we could just call and find out, but I don't want to take up the line for, like, people who don't.
Yeah, no, that seems irresponsible.
Yeah,
we could just wait a couple of months and have my brother do it when he's actually having a crisis.
I don't wish that for your brother though. So
it gets.
I don't know.
It gets better.
Can I send them an email?
What is your hold music? You dickheads!
I have to know.
Hold music.
I have to know.
You have.
But then I'm afraid that I'm going to get too invested and I'm going to end up volunteering for the.
I should just have
that. And then I'm going to have to like go to therapy to get through it.
You know
Does
what I'm
going to
do?
That
I'm going to
do have
it.
Enough.
I'm going to. On the night shift, I'm just going to have my super like positive cohort. Hey, can you call this number for me real quick? See what happens when they put you on hold.
Does that mean that they have enough people calling to like they can't answer them all? I mean, I suppose that could be
or
a good thing.
Or too few people to answer the phones?
That's probably
that
more
might
likely.
Be more of the case.
And also, like, are they making the decision by themselves to put people on hold?
That's a lot of pressure.
Like, do the volunteers that answer these phones?
Yeah, I just released a lot of pressure. I apologize for that.
They sound like they could hold on for a second. Like, here's how I picked.
Hopefully,
the
what?
Here's how I hear it. Ring, ring, ring. Suicide hotline. And when we help you, because they talk quietly because they don't want to startle them into doing anything. Suicide
right.
hotline. What's your situation?
I'm gonna jump off this bridge. I'm gonna die.
How long have you been standing there?
I don't know. 15, 20 minutes.
Listen, I'm gonna put you on hold. Jumpers are a little less serious than the gun in their fucking mouth, so we'll be back with you as soon as we can. Because that's their whole
It's just Iron Maiden the Trooper.
I imagine that
you hear this. Do you need help? Do I need to do a volunteer drive for you?
Dude, you might end up having to volunteer.
I care too
we
much.
100% believe in the suicide hotline. Like, we're not making fun of the suicide hotline. We're just curious individuals about
no.
like if
the
they actually have hold
is
music.
Important.
Like,
it's just,
it is. It really is.
It's. I keep asking because it's troubling to me that they have hold.
I'm sure that when you call, it like puts you on hold right away. It's like, please stand by. Our operators are assisting. So it's not like you get a person and then they're like, screw you, I'm going to go talk to this other guy. I'm pretty sure that it's not like that.
But how fucked up would it be if it was like that, though? Like
That would be...
Please hold.
It'd be worth killing yourself over, to be honest.
I mean, I don't know, like, is it because
they
get so many calls, or is it lack of resource? Yeah, like, I don't know, like, how to feel about that.
What if they outsource the suicide hotline to Comcast customer service?
Here's my problem, is the happier I am, the less empathetic I am. So, if I'm, like, in a good place, I feel like my answer would be, like, like you said, the guy's like, oh, God, jump off this bridge. And I would be like, well, you haven't done it yet. He's like, no. And I'd be like, so you're just dicking around, taking your time. You clearly don't want to do it that bad. Go to sleep. Go home,
moron. So your
answer
to this guy is no balls? You're going to no balls pretty much. This hypothetical man on a bridge?
Well, not so much no balls as it's like, you just clearly don't want to do it, man. I'm just helping you realize that. Like, just go home. And then he jumps
you,
and I'm like,
what are you
going
to do, a half
I'm glad that,
get off there.
Yeah. And then it turns out that he actually did.
You're
going to
ruin somebody's commute tomorrow.
Like, oh,
just
well.
Go home.
For those of you new to Bear Attack, this is like the quintessential Bear Attack
just
episode.
Just play Pharmacist
we went from
like the rest of the kids.
We went from talking aliens to making like jokes about being on hold because we're suicidal. Like, we're not really. It's what a conundrum that
I'm
is.
I'm not. I'm just concerned.
That it like even exists.
Five or six
no,
bottles
I'm
of antidepressants
glad it exists,
in the house.
I'm just
somewhere.
So concerned. Yeah. It's a real problem. Should. It's a real problem, kids.
I have so many antidepressants because I did need them at one point, but then I stopped taking them, and I haven't needed them for over a year, well over a year now.
And now, sometimes he needs
them. So here's the question about antidepressants, because we're on this topic, and I'm curious. Did you wane yourself off them slowly, or did you just quit cold turkey? Because you're not supposed to do it that way.
You know, yes, I would recommend to anyone listening, if you think that, I mean, like, talk to your psychiatrist and everything, and or whoever prescribes them. You should wane yourself off them, but no, I just quit cold turkey. And
yikes. You know, so,
that's right, because my boy jumps in the deep end.
I mean, you know, listen to your, like, your body, and I mean, I went through periods where I forgot to take them, not because I was quitting, but I just forgot. And things would be good for a while, and then, you know, things would come roaring back, and it'd be like, have you been taking your meds? And it's like, well, no. And it's like, okay, clearly we're not ready to go off them yet. So that's a real thing. But also, anyone who tells you that you need to be on them for the rest of your life, don't listen to that guy. Like, anyone who tells you you need to be on a medication for the rest of your life. I had a doctor tell me that one time. Never seeing that guy again for any reason. He was 100% wrong and was trying to kill me with antibiotics, I swear.
Yes. Second opinion, anybody that pushes drugs too hard. Also, if you're on the drugs and you say they make me feel funny, keep going with it because it just feels funny to you. And maybe it's helping you with something to work through it to eventually get off.
That is something that's something that's funny is a lot of people, like, I was on, like, really low doses of antidepressants, and my psychiatrist was like, the goal is to get you off of these as soon as we can, which is what kind of made me trust him. But a lot of people say that it makes them feel like not themselves. It made me feel like I was myself again. So I don't know. That was a dark day, though, because I felt like I needed medication to be, like, normal. But it helps me get back to normal. So,
well, I think that's the difference.
Seek out help.
Some people wait so long to get the help they need that their normal is the disease.
Yeah.
After what their normal is. So they've, like,
man, I've had.
Normal is this plateau. They drop down into this valley and they're in the valley so long that when they get back up to the plateau where they were normal before, it feels not normal to them.
Yeah.
I can attest, having an eating disorder, the whole deal, that, I mean, people, like, eating disorders are an actual problem, folks. I mean, and, like, addiction is bad, but, like, having an eating addiction is, like, in my, like, you have to eat, like, you don't have to do heroin, you know? So I look at it that way.
I mean, tell that to a heroin addict.
But no, no, he's right. You do have to eat. You don't have to do heroin. I mean, it might feel like you have to do heroin, but your body will.
It's just, it's like, it's like anything. It's a control. Like, you have to control yourself. That's the whole, like, me, I'm a binge eater. I don't binge and purge because throwing up is horrible and fuck all that. But, like,
is that what it's called?
Like, sometimes, like, food will, like, run my day. Like, I'll be, like, just thinking about the next meal. It is a legit problem.
I have a lot of questions. I feel like we should do this for a different podcast, though, so we can talk about cryptids in Arizona.
Let's end it with this. Don't let your shortcomings become your identity. Yeah. If you need help,
become your identity except music.
Right. That's right. Emo's not dead.
Elevator music. On hold, balls deep in a cold turkey. There you go. Let's move on.
Your sexuality is not your personality. Your taste in music is.
What does that say about us?
It says I really gotta figure myself out. I'm going through some stuff.
I mean, I like angry music for happy people, but I don't consider myself a happy person, so I don't know.
You are deep down in your mind. But here's the thing, boys. I was talking about this 24/7 hotline. 24/7. 24 hours a day. 7 days. You could call in for a UFO on Christmas. there will be a Jewish operator that will answer your phone call.
That's the way I prefer him.
We're not eating the aliens. Also, I'm not sure if they're actually kosher. I wouldn't call them unclean, though. That seems dangerous. They're about to be doing some probulating into your anal glandular areas.
They're
going to
probe you
areas,
like a cold turkey. Yeah.
There's 8 nights in the winter you can't speak to the Jewish hotline operator, but there is Christmas. So
that's right. So they've been around since the 1974, and they have kept track of sightings since 1974, but they have also looked into and recorded sightings from before, and they have records all the way back to the year 1400. There have been rednecks seeing UFOs since the 1400s, ladies and gentlemen.
Wait. We're talking pre-America and no fucks exist?
That's correct. But here's the thing. Arizona, by the numbers, we have 3,188 unexplainable UFO sightings.
Is that a lot?
That is enough to be number 7 in the world.
I'm curious, nice. Is New Mexico number 1 or is
it? Oh. You think I'm going to leave you hanging like that, Oceans? Here we go.
I do. You would do that.
States with the most UFO sightings. Actually, you know, states with the fewest UFO sightings. Here we go.
Oh.
The least UFO seen in a place. Washington, D.C., 87.
Politicians are aliens.
Huh. That's,
yeah, but they don't fly.
That is interesting. You would think that there would be like a lot.
They do if they snort enough coke.
87 UFO sightings in Washington, D.C. The second least? North Dakota.
There's nobody there.
There's no one to see them.
Yeah, but I mean, they're probably all there. But there's nobody to see them, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But here, this is what really turned me around. So North Dakota has 192 sightings on record since 1974. Wyoming is the third fewest with 266 sightings. I feel like Wyoming should be the second least. Like, North Dakota and Wyoming should switch. There's more people in North Dakota. One of my best friends is from North Dakota. She's people that lives there. I've never met a human being from Wyoming.
I feel
I've
like
been to
the,
Wyoming.
I don't think I feel it like truly the exists. I think it's just eastern Montana.
No, it totally exists.
I feel like
dude.
I feel like it's a different kind of people, though. Like, the North Dakota people are, like, mostly native, so they probably see it aliens differently than the white people do. The white people probably freak out, like, oh my god, an alien. The natives are like, hey, look, a deity.
What do you think? We just drink our fire water and see tons of UFOs, you racist prick.
And here's it.
Here's
what I'm
excuse me.
Boys bear, ladies and gentlemen.
Here's what I'm thinking it is. This is my
theory. I'm not the one assuming natives have magic UFO eyes.
God damn it.
Here's what I think it is. North Dakota and Wyoming, that's militia territory. And they ain't going to call nothing they think is even close to the government. They're not calling any organization but themselves.
That's true.
Point.
They're the people that say, we don't call 911, we reload.
That's true.
All right. But states with the most UFO sightings. Remember, Arizona is number 7.
Mm-hmm. Number in the three, world or just in the country?
This is the country, but America has the most UFO sightings in the world. Well, you know, it could be China could have the most UFO sightings.
Yeah, but we wouldn't
But they
know.
Don't release any. North Korea could have the most, but they don't tell us. So,
right.
They capture them all.
Yeah.
And then they eat them.
And, you know, I just... Nobody knows how many UFOs have been sighted in Europe because they're too prim and proper to tell us. So America has the most UFO sightings in the world.
In North Korea, they probably would eat that.
So if America has the most UFO sightings in the world, that means that Arizona has the 7th most UFO sightings in the world. But number 3 is Washington State with 4,351 sightings.
Oh yes, home of our brethren, the Squatch. Of course, they love aliens too.
Also,
duh.
Home of Amelia's family.
Yes, and vampires.
She's from there.
And they probably have seen aliens out where they live in the middle of nowhere.
Maybe. No surprise, number two, most UFO sightings in the world. Throw me a guess.
New Mexico.
No.
Nevada.
No. You get one more.
Stockholm. Are you kidding me? California. Florida. Oh, yeah. Yeah, all the redneck fuckery going on over
Florida.
There.
Florida. 5,826
They've been saying alligators
sightings.
And crocodiles were aliens.
And the number one heavyweight champ of UFO sightings in the world.
It has to be New Mexico. That's nope. Like all their tourism.
Not New Mexico.
Nevada?
Nope. I'll give you both one more.
California, but Hollywood does not count as aliens.
Oh! Oceans gets it on his second guess. It's California.
California.
10, of course, they have Hollywood. They have Hollywood, man.
333 sightings as of... What was this posted? It's from this year. So, as of this year, California has the most UFO sightings.
It's funny that you bring up California because we went up to Mount Shasta National Park, right?
Do they?
And
is that
on
where
the
they
way
make
there,
the soda for the Dollar Tree?
No, maybe
it's
I don't
bottled
know.
At the source.
But beside the point, fired. So I have been up in that area once before because Mount Lassen National Park is also right there, and we were there before. But they literally have an observatory up there dedicated just for extraterrestrial communications. So I 100% believe this. Like, I have toured that observatory, and it is bonkers, like, the science behind it. It's
curse.
Crazy.
So, I have thoughts on UFOs, but I don't know if, like, it will ruin the fun of the episode.
Okay, hold on. Before you say anything.
Wait, let me...
You're pro Bigfoot, but anti-alien?
No, let me talk into... Let me do the Phoenix Lights, which is the reason I looked up. How many UFO sightings happen in Arizona?
I've seen those. They're real. They exist.
Yeah. So, specifically the Phoenix Light events, also called the Lights Over Phoenix, was where a series of unidentified flying objects observed in the sky flew from Nevada through Arizona and into Sonora, Mexico. On March 13th, 1997, I was... mere days from being 3 years old. They traveled 300 miles from 7:30 to 10:30. They were visible, and they changed formation from like a triangle to a line, and then like a square shape. And yeah, let's see here. The United States Air Force identified the second group of lights as flares dropped by A-10 Warthog aircraft that were training exercises at the range. But they also claim to have seen the UFOs in the sky. So the U.S. military said, yep, don't know what those were. The lights were reported to have reappeared in 2007 and 2008.
Hmm.
Yeah, and there's like sightings all over the place. So, and there's even photographs, like photos. People took pictures of these things.
Hmm.
So, aliens.
Woo-hoo.
I think there's a video too. If you look it up, I think you can find a video of them. All right, so Nate, now you can tell me why you don't believe in aliens, even though you're...
Well... Because
I've met a bunch. I used to work with one named Juan.
That's it's awful presumptuous of you guys that I'm going... That my thing is going to be that I don't believe in aliens, but...
That's an SB-1070 joke. Who remembers that nonsense?
It was a while ago. I don't really remember. I mean, I understand the joke. It was some immigration bill. Well, first of all, it's like, why am I on board with Bigfoot and not aliens? It's like, well, there's like apes. It's not too hard to believe that there's like species of them that are going extinct that just are very scarce. So that's not like that big of a stretch. It's like things we already know about. And there's like so many animals on this planet. The alien thing is like, there's just like two. Earth is a very, is an anomaly. There's no other that we know of scientifically. I know that people are like, oh, there's infinite planets out there and whatnot. Okay, but we don't, that's and all speculation. That's all speculation. It can't be proven.
But that's
as far as we know, this is the only place in the universe capable of supporting life. And I always think it's funny that people assume if there is life out there that it's more advanced than us.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, I believe in like angels and demons, and that they're far superior in technology to us and, you know, advanced. And people are like, oh, that's
dimensionally different.
Well,
I don't think that's like spatially different.
I think that it's spatially and dimensionally. I think dimension supersedes space, so it's not a big deal for them to be spatially different than us either.
That's fair.
And people go, oh, that's just religious nonsuch. And I'm like, well, it is until it isn't. But like, you know, and then people go, how can you believe in the Bible if they prove aliens? And I'm like, oh, no, those aren't angels or demons. It's like, I don't know. The Bible said that aliens have existed forever. Like, you're going to tell, and people say, no, that's not the same thing. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, Moses didn't consult you on what he should name the extraterrestrial beings he encountered. You know, like you would have preferred them to have a different word starting in the letter A. Angels isn't good, so let's call them aliens, I guess. Yeah. Like, it's the same thing to me.
Yeah! Thank you, Nate. I'm with you.
So I think that they exist. It's been proven that they exist. The government's, you know, started, like, declassifying things, I guess. I've never looked into it. I don't really care.
The government's trying to, oh my gosh, hold on, I gotta change this Taylor Swift song, it is very distracting.
I don't know how you guys listen to music while we do this. I would never be able to, I can't do two things at once. I would never hear a word you guys say.
Yeah, but anyway, Oceans, back to aliens. Oceans, you in for aliens, you out? In or out? You're either with us or you're against us.
Oh, I'm 100% in, like, yeah! The smart... technologically advanced aliens, the ones that will eat us if we see them, the ones that will pop out of our guts like in the movie Alien, mm-hmm. or in Spaceballs when it does that fucking weird dance thing on the counter and like making fun of aliens.
You can't tell me the Egyptians built the pyramids by themselves. They obviously had help.
Oh no, I think that was straight up slave labor. And everybody hates Jews.
Okay, one of those is true.
I'm pretty sure there were Jewish people involved in the pyramids. I'm just saying. I'm pretty sure they were not free
people.
I don't know if it was specifically the Jews, but I do believe slave labor was a big part of it. I think the pyramids came about after the Jews left Egypt.
I think it was before. I think it was before the Jews went to Egypt. The pyramids are old, but I could be wrong.
I don't know. Somebody,
you know what?
Somebody look,
I'm gonna
at
look
that,
into it.
What was that?
Back to you.
What was that movie? The one with Moses in it. The Prince of Egypt. Somebody look, watch that. I think it has some of that information in it.
So last I checked, and this changes every year because people keep finding new archaeological evidence and stuff. But people, supposedly in like just secular, I don't know, archaeology or anthropology or whatever, there hasn't been a whole lot of great evidence that there was like a whole lot of Jews living in Egypt in ancient times, and then that they became slaves, and then that they had this mass exodus, to which I say they made a whole religion out of it, and it's like one of the biggest, it is the biggest book that's ever been written, and I feel like that's, you know, not evidence. That's evidence that's a little bit too compelling to just dismiss out of hand. But just because you haven't found any like wagon wheels or whatever, I don't know, like whatever they do, doesn't mean that it didn't happen. But then like King David, for a long time, people were like, he's Israel's most powerful king, and there's no evidence of him. And they found evidence of him within the last couple of years and everything. It's like, no, there is. You just haven't found it yet. But also, there's a ton of people who wrote about it. There's so much scripture about it.
Nate, I have been studying the exodus of the Jews from Egypt and the proof that it exists. And, dude, I've got some stuff on this. A lot of it's around the Red Sea right now, because that's where I'm at in this process. But, like, theological archaeologists are like, the reason you can't find things about from the Jews in Egypt from ancient times is because they used Egyptian stuff. They were in Egypt for, like, centuries.
It would definitely be easy for a couple hundred years to go missing here and there.
Yeah, from the record. Could go missing, but also if you live in America for like 20 years, people are going to go looking for like stuff from to prove that you were like Polish or whatever. They're not going to find a European outlet plug. They're going to find American stuff.
True.
They're probably going to find a Yankees mitt in your Yankees hat in your apartment that you paid too much money for.
Yeah, like, true, I guess maybe
they were.
I don't know. This would be an interesting like conversation to have with my dad, who's a truck driver, and like more and more often, like he always complains about like the Muslim truck drivers because you know it's a
there's
thing.
A
it's
lot a of them. Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, and like we're talking about how you can't tell that they're not from, but you can. Like, there's differences. Like, unless they like make an effort like, to like lose all of that.
So
like
culturally, you can tell the difference if you can see them. Like if you're there looking at them, like I can tell a Mexican house from an American house or like a white people house.
Oh yeah.
But like not an American house because they're Americans too, but like somebody of a German family. I could tell a German family in America from a Mexican family in America's house. But thousands of years later, I'm going to find what? A house that was constructed the same way. I'm going to find forks that are made of the same like materials. Like, you know, you're not gonna find like, and this here was Jewish pottery. No, you're gonna find a freaking cup. You're like, yep, that was a cup. It looks like it was made by the United States of America from China from this time, you know?
I think so that their that. Big thing is that and, like Egyptians kept pretty good records of things, I guess. And it seems like the Bible or the Torah is like the only place where like the Exodus is really mentioned in history, but like I said, I mean,
this is a different
right,
discussion.
But you gotta,
keep digging.
We gotta remember here.
We got three more cryptids to get through.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah. Oh my god! Go ahead. We're gonna have a small town murder length episode. I think.
Oh
my
gosh! Let's go. Yeah, we're not even.
All right, back to Bigfoot.
All right, actually though, back to Bigfoot because next up on the list is the Mogollon Monster, also known as the Arizona Bigfoot.
We've talked about this before.
I've mentioned him briefly. But, I mean, he has all the same, mostly characteristics of all the bipedal Bigfoots around the world. He's about 7 feet tall, large red eyes. Its body is covered with long black or reddish brown hair. With the exclusion...
How that survives in the desert is beyond me.
It doesn't. It's in the Mogollon Rim.
It's still That's hotter
up by,
than shit
It's up by
there.
Payson, though. But here's how it is.
It gets hot
because
up there.
It does get covered, hot.
Its body is covered in hair, except with the exclusion, meaning not, on its chest, face, hands, and feet. Where does all your body lose most of its heat from? Well, the top of your head. But we have had on the top hair on the top of our head. But from your chest, your wrists, and the bottom of your feet. That's where you lose most of your heat.
Well, the rim freezes hardcore in the winter and snows and everything, so.
And hair will help with that. But reports claim that it is strong. Smells absolutely terrible, like dead fish.
Like downtown Phoenix.
Or
right,
like decaying moss.
I don't know what decaying moss smells like.
I don't either, but that's specifically what somebody has said it smells like.
I have a lot of moss growing around my house, too.
The first time it was mentioned was in 1903 in the Arizona Republican.
Oh, wow. A legit source, too.
And the sighting of it was up near... up near the Grand Canyon. And it said, long white hair, matted beard that reached to its knees. No clothes, and upon its talon-like fingers were claws at least 2 inches long.
Well, that was just my grandma's homeless squatter, Gene.
Uh-huh. He later stated that after he discovered the creature drinking the blood of two cougars, the animals, not the bar hoppers,
meow.
It threatened him with a club and screamed the wildest, most unearthly screech.
Ugh.
Like a goat from the new Thor movie. All right. If you haven't seen the movie, go see it.
I will not.
Slowly
you're the first person
Miguel
I've heard
here.
Say anything remotely nice about that movie.
I didn't say it was good. I just said they're screaming goats. I just
no, you said go see it. If you haven't seen it, go see it. That's
that
the
doesn't
nicest
mean
thing
it's
you
good.
That's the nicest thing you could possibly say about it.
All right, so
I mean,
pop culture. Here we go. There's a story of Arizona pioneer named Sam Spade building a log cabin adjacent to land up by Camp Geronimo, only to be attacked by the creature. Later, his son Bill and his soon-to-be wife were killed by the creature on their wedding day.
What? No.
Also, Native American sightings of the creature go back for forever in their anthology. And there's a lot of tales of escapes, and this creature are, like, going after people. So, the Mogollon Monster means business. There you go. The Mogollon Monster.
Man, I don't know what to add to that. It sure would suck to, you know, finally get around to where you can do the dirty and then...
Here's what I would like to know. A Bear Attack question of the week, and give us your opinion on our socials. We get all these, like, different versions of the Bigfoot all over the place. Do they have, like, a bear Sasquatch family reunion somewhere, just, like, centralized and, like... That would be fascinating. Like...
I think that'd be a little too obvious. Reunion. I think we'd find them that way.
No, they probably go to Wyoming, where there's nobody, as we've established... Or North Dakota, as we've established.
They freaking hate each other.
Hey, Sheridan. If you're listening to this episode, can you, tell me if there's a Bigfoot gathering in North Dakota. I want to go.
No, dude. They used to try for Thanksgiving, but it just got too awkward.
they didn't have enough. They didn't have a big enough cold turkey to. Oh god, that's gonna be the joke throughout the whole show. Sorry.
Oh my gosh.
All 2020 right. Really put the kibosh on any chance of the family mending things.
You didn't. Oh my god.
All right, the last two we're going to do is like a sort of honorable mention. Second to last is the jackalope that I feel everybody knows about. It's the bunny with the antelope horns.
The extra horny rabbit, yes.
That's right. You can find them in Southern California, Arizona, New Mexico, Kansas, all over the place. They are some horny little thumpers.
California has Playboy bunnies. But they are not nearly as horny as the jackalopes of Arizona.
No, they're just made up to look less horny. Well, unless... No, some of them look really... Never...
where are you going with this?
I don't know, but I'm going to cut you off the knees because we're going to the last one, which is not a cryptid. It's just a hilarious story.
Oh boy.
Oh yay.
So in the
Can we make this any more fucking funny?
So in the 1850s, the United States
the Wild West,
military
boys.
Were starting to move out into the Wild West, and they decided that the horse wasn't cutting it. They needed an animal that could cross the harsh terrain. And you know,
are you talking donkeys? Are we getting a donkey story?
No. Aww. They didn't have to consume as water as frequently. Eh.
Wait, are we going back to Egypt? Did they import camels or something stupid like that?
They did.
They have brought camels to Texas.
We went from horny rabbits to hump animals. Oh my god.
On hump day.
Hump day.
They brought camels. 150 camels to Texas. And here's the thing. Exactly like you'd expect from the U.S. government, the camels got out. And they started eating up people's farms and breeding and became an invasive species in the Southwest.
Yes, but now we can have camel steak because them fuckers in Texas will make steak out of anything.
You guys are laughing real hard. It sounded like a good idea right up until they got out and started eating everything.
Well, that's why I'm laughing so hard, because I know where that's the thing about the episodes where I do the stories and the topics is I know what's coming.
He knows where it's going.
It's true.
It's like Small Town Murder when, like, James will do that thing where he'll pause and like, ah, fuck it, I'll just tell you about it now. I was holding off, but I'm just going to tell you about it now.
Okay, so their trip to get these stupid camels is also hilarious. So Congress gave Major Wayne and a Lieutenant David D. Porter money and sent them to the Eastern Mediterranean in a Navy ship called the Supply. To
Real
buy the
first
America. Camels.
Thank you so-
as an experienced horse trader, Wayne spent considerable time investigating camel lore and studying the offsprings in the camel markets of Egypt.
Nice.
How do the humps form? Why are they so humpy?
All but one of the 33 animals he bought for an average of $250 a piece survived the tough 3-month ocean voyage Indianola, Texas. So homeboy bought 150 camels at $250 a head, and only 33 of them made it back to Texas.
Is that $250?
So,
is that 1850s money, or is that like
that
modern?
Is 1850s $250. This guy spent a shit ton of tax money on camels.
Dude, that's got to be like a couple thousand dollars in today's money a piece, yeah?
I have
questions about that because, like, when the camel died, did they, like, throw it overboard and, like, feed her to the sharks? Like,
probably.
Or did they leave it there and just let them all pile up in a body of decaying camel? Oh, that would
no,
be so gross.
They probably threw it over. They probably ate it.
Or ate them.
What?
Oh my gosh. Oh no, his reaction. $250
in 1850.
What's it in today's money,
hold on,
Polar Bear?
Hold on, I gotta double check.
Is that bad?
I gotta check if this is $250 in today's money in this.
You wanna get pissed off?
Because otherwise, huh?
You wanna get pissed off?
Sure.
The dollar's lost 98% of its value since the 1970s. So,
oh no,
our 2 cents in the 70s is literally worth $100 in today's money.
Yeah, no, I got that. Okay, so $250. No, this is more about my thing about government spending. But in 1850, $250. Is the equivalent of $9,497.15 today.
That's like, so he was basically buying like used Corollas over there.
Yeah, homie was buying $9,500 camels. These Egyptians were taking him to the cleaners. And he thought he was getting good deals.
I said our 2 cents was worth $100. I realized that I did the math on that completely wrong. But yeah, like a dollar.
It's still a lot. Anyways.
I just wanted to correct that, and but yeah, back to the camels. Holy,
so okay, wait, what's 150 times, let's call it 9500 for the sake of math. 150 times 9500. He spent $1.4 million on camels. That's not even the transport of the camels.
And then less than like 75% of his investment survived. Wow.
But you know what? I hear that once they got him to Texas, they solved that problem real quick.
Well,
As chance would have it, there were two colts born on the ship.
Oh, wow.
Hold on. Does that mean... How would that work? Like, camels getting it on a rickety old ship like that does not sound stable. Like, at all.
Well, like, it doesn't have to be if you're doing the old rock and roll.
That's right.
Like a waterbed, I guess.
Yeah.
You ever been in on a waterbed? Man, those things are sketchy as shit.
I have never had the pleasure of doing it on a waterbed.
I would definitely not call it that. It's like walking on the moon, man. It is weird.
Wait, this story is so much better. Hold on. So he travels for 3 months on this ship, loses all these camels, 33 survive, gets two colts. And they get into bay. They anchor out there. They hire Native Americans to, like, wrangle these camels. But no matter what their...
Those racist...
No,
fucks.
It's so much better. No matter how... Whatever your ethnicity was, if you were hired to wrangle these stupid camels in 1850, they called you Arabs. And then as soon as the camels got on the solid ground again... They started kicking and breaking halters and just, like, making a scene. And everybody thought a free circus was coming to town.
I love how they had just assumed the circus was free.
It's yeah, $1.4 billion circus. Holy shit.
I don't know why they would have thought Native Americans would have been good with the camels. They learned how to do horses from the white man anyway, so.
No. Oh my gosh. A lady from Victoria, Texas got a hold of some hair from the camel. A lot of hair from one of the camels. And she knitted a pair of socks for President Franklin Pierce, who approved this nonsense.
Oh, it's bedtime.
And then in 1857, they ordered more. They got 41 more camels and brought them to Texas.
Let's just blow another $1 million. Why don't we?
Did they go buy a whole other bunch of camels, or did they actually just go buy 40?
They ordered up 41 more camels, it says. A second cargo.
So, hopefully it wasn't this great big, like, voyage of attrition, where they're just dumping camels over the sides the whole rest of the way.
It would have to be. The camels come from the same place. Like, they'd have to go get them somehow.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying hopefully they figured out how to keep them alive a little bit better on the second trip.
They did. Yeah, it says 41 camels made it. I don't have the numbers here, but I'm assuming they did better this time. But there was a third load, and it wasn't a government ship this time. They hired a private interest, and they brought the camels to cover up they were actually bringing in slaves.
Oh. Not a good
so
look.
So they were bringing in slaves in 1850 and dropped off camels to cover it up.
Yeah. Well, little did they know, they only had a couple more years left of that. Gotta get them in while they could.
Here's my question. How did President Lincoln handle the camp? Like,
he was dead. Like, that's how he handled it.
Huh?
No, this was before, right?
This is 1857.
This is before, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. My bad.
How long was he president for, though?
Abraham Lincoln?
This is
probably
5 years
before his time. I'm sure that
This is Pierce.
I'm sure
this
that
is pre-Civil War.
By the time Lincoln was president and the camels were taking over Texas, I don't think that Lincoln really cared much. He had other things going on.
Yeah, but they're you know like, what? Disguising.
We get into the Civil War. Let's keep going, shall we?
Okay, awesome. I wanted to know.
So, like, yeah, we brought in slaves and more camels.
This is the honorable mention section.
Well, it was going to be, but then I started reading more, and man, let me tell you, we got to do the camel story. It's so much fun.
I'm still awake.
The camels, after the camels did their service in the army, because, you know, animals in the army are considered soldiers, so once they do their contract time, they just turned the camels loose and a bunch of Texas cattlemen killed them. Because they're eating their crops and taking up their range. So they just put them down.
That's pretty Texas.
Dude, it's hard.
Hate to see a veteran treated that way, but.
Also, here's a fun thing they just kind of throw in here. One of the camel drivers was a guy called Greek George. He's a Chinaman. He's an Oriental camel driver. Nothing else really about him. Just he's there.
The juxtaposition of what they could get away with back then would not fly at all now. Like
that. Here's the more about him.
We're pussies now.
Originally a New York stagecoach driver, and years later founder of the American Express Company. You know, like the credit cards.
Amex? For real? Wow.
He's contracted with the government in 1858 to carry mail between Missouri River and San Francisco. Uncle Sam's camels with Greek George in command were used in building parts of the road later known as the Butterfield Route. Thus, some of the historical trails across southwestern desert country are in the camel's credit in a realization, however partial, of Jefferson Davis's dream. Jefferson Davis being the first and only president of the Confederate States of America. Because in 1858 to 1860, when he was the Secretary of War, his successor as Secretary of War, J.B. Floyd, repeatedly urged Congress to appropriate funds to purchase 1,000 more camels.
People had dreams for these camels.
Notice we have zero camels running around America. So something went fucking badly wrong here.
The very fact that Jefferson Davis, a Confederate, was the camel's chief sponsor prejudiced many Union officers and men against the project and against using camels.
Can't use those camels. Those are slavery camels.
That just, like, adds to the Confederate War so much for me. Like,
rebel
dumb
camels.
Southern stupidity thought camels would work.
And then in Texas, the horse traders in Texas were afraid the camels were going to take over the market. So they started.
Here's the thing, though, is
from
the
stables.
The camels did work, they just worked a little bit too well.
Yeah, but like a supply chain issue would be a humongous problem with that, like transporting them. Oh my god.
Well, once they got them here, they just started multiplying.
Like jackalopes.
So.
Yeah, but no, they're for what they were using them for, they're great.
I mean, yeah, the purpose was justified, but the means to the end obviously didn't work out.
No, it did. That's the thing. That first voyage was rough. Like, they lost a lot of camels, but then once they got them over here, they had so many that they were, like, turning them loose, and then they started eating people's crops. But as far as, like, using them as pack animals and everything, it was so good, people kept going, I need to get me some of them camels.
Oh, boys, we got so much more. So, after the Civil War, Confederate sympathizers went to Texas and stole all the camels.
How do you...
They stole...
What?
They stole so many camels. And
went on to just do like terrorist activities on Camelback. And then they got that under control, so the camels were then put back into service because there was a bunch of abandoned forts that needed manpower. So they took the camels to the forts with the people they put there, and the people cared so little about the camels, they just let them go. And they went from Texas, and a herd showed up in Los Angeles.
Oh my God!
They built a corral for them on 2nd Street. There's still a plaque. There's a plaque in the heart of Los Angeles about this camel corral they had to build to hold them. And then they just got out! So there was just wild camels. Then they gathered a bunch of them up. We're getting towards the end here. They gathered a bunch of them up in the... So the camels are alive for forever in these wild herds. And in the 1970s, they corralled a bunch and trained them to have a horse or a camel cavalry that failed.
Oh.
Not because the camels were not made, like, couldn't do it, but just because the soldiers were too embarrassed that they were the camel cavalry. And then they let them loose again. So if you see a wild camel, you can thank the U.S. government for importing them for $9,500 a piece.
Man, I would love to be in the camel cavalry.
We're gonna do another episode of the camel cavalry. But that's it for tonight. Thanks for coming along on this. What was supposed to be about cryptids, but the cryptids were the smallest part of it. The camels really took over as the star of the show.
This episode went all over the place.
Oh, my fucking head hurts.
Oh, also, while I was looking this up, somebody asked, are there still camels in America? And somebody commented, yeah, you can find them in any gas station. Americans still smoke.
Oh, my God!
But this has been such a fun episode. We didn't introduce ourselves at the beginning, but I'm Polar Bear. The guy that you can't see with his amazing hair is Blitz Bear. The guy that you can hear so clearly you can almost see him is Oceans. He is Panda Bear.
As long as you can't smell me, nobody wants that right now.
Yikes. And what are we loving, guys?
This clusterfuck of an episode, I gotta tell you, I'm gonna be like dying editing this.
I'm gonna want to take stuff out, but
I can't take it out. It's too funny.
I am also loving the camel cavalry.
Good stuff.
That sounds like a bad, like, 70s porno almost. And I'm just like,
it's you. Oh, no.
Ew. Gross. No, I'm hanging up this call right now. Just sorry, Nate. You don't get to say what you're loving.
Some girl with Mrs. Incredible hair and a guy with an obnoxiously huge mustache and like pants. And they're all dressed up like they're Middle Eastern, but they're white as sour cream.
Oh, the amount of times she's going to pick at a camel toe and he's going to point it out. And the amount of times somebody's going to say hump.
It just is like the set of I Dream of Jeannie.
Horny rabbit, too. We had a horny rabbit, too. We just can't get away from it today.
Nate, what are you loving?
My friend and his wife, who is now my friend as well, because I have her phone number, and that makes us friends, and not just my friend's wife.
That's the qualifier.
Yes, that's why Amy and I are friends.
Ladies, if you gave Nate your number, you will be friends.
That's true.
Pretty sure you and Amy were friends before that happened. But
that's true. Yeah, Amy and I were friends before she and Sam became lovers. But anyway, my friend came up and she does photography. I think it's Wilcox Photography. Let me double check that. We can plug her. She's really good. And we went and took some pictures, and she's been sending them to me, and they're just really cool. And I'm very happy that she did that for me. So Yeah, Wilcox Photography. You can find her on Instagram.
Man, this was such a fun episode. Like, I feel like we should rebrand ourselves as
the Camel Cavalry,
the Clusterfuck Podcast. I don't even know. Like,
Camel Attack.
Every episode is turning into something. Bear Attack, the Camel Cavalry, season 5 coming soon. Oh my god!
Is Camel Cavalry the next Weeble Overhand album? I think so.
It'll be
my country album.
Our last 3 episodes, including this one, have just been like completely off the rails, and it's been good.
That should be our new saying: Bear Attack, off the rails.
I tell what you guys talk about. We covered a lot of territory this episode. We've got something for everybody and something for no one, all at the same time.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, I got one more funny story.
Oh no!
Before we go,
is it about camel toes?
We can't have a good Bear Attack episode without a shit story.
Is it humping on Hump Day? Here we go. We could start that right now. I'm fine with that.
We can
that change.
It's not really about it's about the action. Like, it's not about me. So I was cleaning up after the dog, okay? And I go throw the bag in the dumpster, and, you know, I'm not good at sports. So I hit the top edge of the dumpster, the bag breaks open, and then it goes everywhere. I'm like, I'm not here, you don't see me. It was just like a puppy.
Did you look at it and say, well, shit.
Yeah, basically, I threw it and went, oh, shit. And then slowly crept away, like, Scooby-Doo style backwards and in the dark. But anyway, thank you so much for putting up with whatever the fuck this was. We are Bear Attack, Polar Bear, Blitz Bear. I'm Panda Bear. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Email us at bearattackpodcast@gmail.com. Don't bother with Patreon because we are not doing that currently.
We've decided to focus to on you.
No more Patreon.
We decided to focus on you, the masses.
But
you're welcome.
Clardyar and 2Gs, we will message you about stuff. You guys get exclusive, one more exclusive thing, and then feel free to keep sending us ideas on the socials because you guys
are
very
helpful. And
then
you're back in Gen Pop, punk.
And on that satisfactory, not so shitty, Humpy Rabbit Hump Day nonsense note, Polar Bear, you know, can we end the thing with a thing, please?
Oh, I'm going to ASMR us out.
Oh.
Thank you all for listening to Bear Attack. We appreciate you greatly. Thank you for your support. We'll see you next time. Bye!
That was my camel noise.